We ask, Lord, that you would just go before us this entire day, anointing us, Lord, both to proclaim and to receive. It's one thing, Father, that for us to preach and teach the Word of God. Lord, by your grace, we'll be faithful to do that. But it's quite another thing to take the Word of God outside the walls of this church and do it. Let us preach the Word and let us do the Word. So, Father, we ask now that you'd bless in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Well, welcome to the conference, and we have an amazing day set up for you, both today and tomorrow. And we are very, very excited to announce to you and share with you that Dr. Tim LaHaye of the famous Left Behind series of books will be with us tomorrow morning. And then in the afternoon, I am absolutely begging you to make plans to attend. I believe, don't quote me on this, but I think it's 4 o'clock tomorrow. Is that right? Congressman Bob McKeown will be speaking not only tonight, but tomorrow. You will not want to miss him. Over the top stuff. But we've got a great lineup of speakers all day long. And you will be very, very encouraged. Very, very, I think, changed in light of what's going on in the world around us. This morning, I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And it's that familiar verse, verse 15, and that's the theme that I'm going to be looking at a message entitled, What Are the Last Days and Why Should You and I Care? What are the last days and why should you and I care? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, But sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. We saw that last night. Decisions were made for Christ. And for the believers this morning, to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. What are the last days and why should you and I care? The Bible is very, very clear that as we approach and as we go through a time and the age in which we live, that God's people are to give the answers. Like never before, the Christian should be more prepared to answer a fearful and trembling world. And that world is trembling. I shared with those who attend this church just a couple weeks ago how on the same Sunday, two different services on that Sunday morning, two visiting families came and approached me independently to announce that as this woman stood there with their children, that it was their first day at church. They had not been to church before, but earlier that week, their husbands, one had hung himself and the other one had shot himself because of the financial crisis. People are losing hope, and that does not need to happen. It shouldn't be happening. It's important for all of us as Christians to know and to understand what we believe and why the last days are important. I just find it awesome and amusing at the same time. As you saw this clip from Fox News, that CNN, all the news channels, we've had reporters calling this church this week about what's going on in the world and could this be the beginning of the end and is Armageddon near? They always want to know what's coming up, but they don't want to hear from us at any other time of life, do they? But they want to know when things begin to shake. But we need to understand this when we talk about what are the last days and what does the Bible speak about concerning the last days. The terms are found in the Bible like these. The last days, the end times, the end of days, the last day. John says the last hour, the latter times, or the end of the age. Not all of those terms speak about the exact same thing. But all of those terms encompass an ultimate conclusion, and that is the return of Jesus Christ to earth in what's called the second coming, in which he establishes his kingdom, the Bible says, upon the earth. This morning you might say, well, I don't believe that. And I want you to know, it doesn't matter what you believe, God's going to do his thing anyway. I mean, he does his thing. When's the last time he asked you and I for any counsel about what he's going to do next? I mean, I love it. Our God cannot be manipulated by our desires or how things are going. And in these events that we call collectively the last days, we are talking about really the description of things along a road called Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy is God writing the future in advance so that we might know what's coming up. Too many churches, I love what Paul said last night, too many churches shy away from teaching Bible prophecy. Why is that the case? I had an LA radio channel ask me this week, why do you think that churches are shying away and running away from hosting conferences about Bible prophecy? And it may be because of biblical ignorance. It may be because of the seminary they've come out of. I don't know. Maybe it's because they think it's going to generate fear. The Bible gives prophecy to us that we might know what's coming up to alleviate the stress and that we might be ready. The end time events, or what we call Bible prophecy, is God's announcement to us of what He's going to do in advance, that we might know what to do, that we might think about our lives and think about the gospel and how we're living, and to ultimately, of course, trust in Him. God expects us to know what the Bible says. And throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ, the religious leaders continually attacked Him over and over again. Not only in His doctrine of salvation, not only in His doctrine of faith and all, but of course in the last days. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 1, listen to what transpired in Matthew 16, verse 1. Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus, testing Him. Maybe there's a lot of people today testing Christ. And they asked Him, what sign would He give them to show them from heaven? And Jesus answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, because the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites. I love how subtle he is. Hypocrites. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the times and the signs of those times. The Bible expects us to know what's coming. And I want to encourage you with this message. What are the last days and why should you care? Because my friends, rather than putting a rope around your neck or putting a gun to your head or deciding, by the way, to run away from your family in this time of pressure, the exact opposite is true. And thank God we are seeing churches across America beginning to swell in these last 6 months. I know it's happening here because people are searching. And so we want to be ready to give an answer to everyone. We're going to look at 10 things this morning. And for those of you who attend here, you're saying, no way can we get through 10 things. We will. What are the last days? Write it down. Do you take notes? Hey, listen, take notes. Take notes. I learned that from Dr. David. Take notes. What are the last days and why should I care? Number one, these events that we're seeing around us that you'll hear about today from other speakers are designed by God to validate God. David talked about last night that the events that are taking place in the Middle East, in the U.S. economy, in the global world situation, the borders, we think the southern U.S. borders left unchecked. God knows. He's watching. We don't know. You and I don't know what's going on, but God knows what's going on. The Lord knows what's happening. The events that are taking place, don't panic, because number one, mark it down, these events have been designed by God to validate God. And you say, what do you mean by that? The Bible says in Isaiah 46, verse 9, for I am God, there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Verse 10, I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that have not yet been done. Only God knows the future, my friend. And you need to know this God who knows the future. God says, I know it before it comes to pass. That's to comfort us. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 21 says, declare what is to be and present it. Let them take counsel together. Listen to this. Who foretold this long ago and declared it from distant times past? Was it not I, the Lord? There is no God apart from me, a righteous God and sovereign Savior. There is none but I. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. All God's people said, amen to that. Our God knows, the God of the Bible. Last night you were told by two different speakers, read this book, the Bible. You want answers? Turn off your TV. Read the Bible. I'm dead serious about that. I know that sounds heretical these days, but the truth is God validates Himself through the Bible. Pastor Jack, how can I know if God's for real? That's a great question. We've all had that question. Open up the book and read it and watch what happens. Oh, that's going to brainwash me. Absolutely. In this messed up world, that's what you and I need, is a good brainwashing. And the Bible gets in there and scrubs it all around. More Bible, more Bible. Why? Because when we read the Word of God, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17 says. God's word will cleanse us. God's word will straighten our thinking. And for those of you who are here this morning saying, what a lunatic. I don't believe what you're talking about. Why don't you man up or woman up and take the Bible and read it? It's not going to hurt you. I know when you go to lunch after church on Sundays, you know, you go to lunch and you take your Bible into the Mimi's or wherever you go to. Wahoo's, of course, yes. And take your Bible to lunch. Go today, take your Bible and set it down on the counter and watch what happens. The waiter will come up and say, what's that? What is that? It's a Bible. I love David Hawking's Bible. We could all get inside his Bible. It's the biggest Bible. Put that big Bible down there and say, that's my Bible. I'd like to order now. And they're going to look at it like this. They're going to totally mess up your order because all they can think about is that guy's got a Bible. The Word of God validates God. God says it. He has never once failed, nor shall he ever fail. How do we know if God is going to fulfill his scriptures, what's left of them for prophetic fulfillment? Because he has fulfilled what he has said in the past. And one word, somebody said, can you give me one word as to why I should believe in God? One word, easy, Israel. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. By the way, while we were sleeping last night, she was under attack. They were shooting some more rockets again. Israel. Number two, validate the Bible. The events that are going on around the world today is to validate the Bible. It is awesome that you and I have the scriptures that we can pick up the Word of God and the Bible says what it says. And it's very, very clear. It could be that today that you're wondering about, is the Bible true? Maybe that's why you've come to this conference. Does the Bible have the answers? The Bible says it does. It doesn't help you for me to say, Jack says it does. No, the Bible says it does. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, Peter said, so we have the prophetic word confirmed to us, which we do well to take heed to, listen, as a light that shines into a dark place. Is your life sensing or feeling dark? Are things in your life pressuring and coming against you? Losing hope? The Bible says, listen, God says in his word that he is the God of hope, that this is the word of hope. And the scripture has been given to us that it might, before our lives, be validated because we can pick up the word of God and change it and change the world that we're in. Now, let me be honest in telling you this. If you're visiting and you don't know God and you've stumbled in here today and you're thinking, man, is that cool? I mean, I just buy a Bible, read it, and my life becomes perfectly fine. Absolutely not. The Bible, because it is the word of God, changes our attitude towards the things we're going through. Jesus said, we're going to have difficulties in this life. And Jesus said, they're going to increase. But it's the Word of God that gets us through. And gets us through not surviving, but the Bible says in the book of Romans, conquering. Meaning that we are able to rise above what's going on. The true Christians today are going to be coming out of the woodwork and shining in these difficult days. The Bible says, making it very, very clear to us that the Lord has confirmed his prophetic word. The Bible is validated by the events in which we are living in. The answer is there. Number three, what are the last days and why should I care? Well, when we see the events taking place around us, the events are designed to validate Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is under attack. Think about this. He's the number one curse word in the world. When was the last time you slammed your finger? I know, nobody in this room would ever say such a thing, but when's the last time you slammed your finger in the door and said, oh, Buddha! Mohammed, that hurt! Nobody does that. All around the world, if people want to cuss, they drop the name of Jesus Christ. Don't you find that interesting? Satan hates Christ. This world hates Christ. Jesus is mocked, made fun of. Years ago, this church was told, don't pray in public places in the name of Jesus. And we are not the most compliant church in the neighborhood. I'll tell you that right now. Thousands of you wore t-shirts all around town saying, I pray in Jesus' name. And the mayor's office called up and said, listen, we don't know if we appreciate your shirt. I told him, listen, you can come to church, pick them up, $5. You can wear them yourself. John chapter, listen, Jesus Christ is validated by the events that are going on and around the world today. The Bible says in John 13:19, I love this verse. Are you ready to write it down? Write it on. Listen, if you see somebody not writing this next verse down, write it on them. Write it on their right hand or their forehead. Write it on them. Listen to this. John 13:19 says, now I tell you before it comes to pass, Jesus said, that when it does come to pass, you might believe that I am. Notice in your Bible, the word he, I am he, is italicized. Jesus said, I'm telling you in advance, before things happen, that when they do happen, you will know that ego eimi, I am. It's the same announcement that when God met Moses on Mount Sinai, Moses says, who do I tell them sent me? When I go down to the children of Israel, who do I say sent me? And that Greek, ego eimi, God spoke to Moses, and you tell the people, I am that I am. Jesus Christ is saying, I am the eternal one, come to earth, who knows all, and when you speak, when you go through the word of God, when you proclaim my truth, it is the announcement of the great I am of God. And Jesus said, I'm telling you things in advance that when they happen, you will know that I am he. And it's with 100% accuracy that the Bible makes its prophetic announcements. No other book in the world. You know, History Channel will often cite Nostradamus. Have you noticed what's going on? By the way, have you noticed in these last 6 months, the History Channel is doing all these apocalyptic programming things now? And they'll boast about Nostradamus, who was 74% accurate or whatever. Did you know, according to the Bible, if you're 74% accurate, you're going to get stoned and not on drugs? I don't mean we stone false prophets today, but that's what happened back then. God takes this stuff seriously. The Bible is absolutely accurate. Listen, the Book of Mormon can't proclaim this to be true. The Book of Mormon can't say that it's prophetically accurate. The Quran is not prophetically accurate. There's no other writing in the world that is prophetically accurate. The Bible is 100%. Listen to this. Why is that the case? Well, because Revelation 19:10 says, John said, I fell at his feet to worship him. He's speaking to an angel there. But he said to me, see that you don't do that. For I'm your fellow servant and your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I love that. Point number four, we're really ripping along here. We're doing great. Number four, what are the last days and why should you and I care? The events that are taking place around us are designed to give us understanding. God gave us the Bible not to freak us out, but to give us understanding. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, listen to this. Daniel 12, 4. The announcement was given to Daniel, but you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book of this prophecy, the book of Daniel, until the time of the end. Then, by the way, that word in Hebrew is, events will cause. There'll be a turning of a key or a door will open. Something's going to happen. Daniel, seal up the book of Daniel. Seal it up. All that you've been shown, don't worry about it. It's for later days. But then, many, and most scholars believe, and I agree, that many refers to the Jewish people. Many will run to and fro and search anxiously, that is through the Bible, and knowledge, that is the seeking after God's purposes, I believe what that means, will be that's been revealed by his prophets. I believe that scripture says there that knowledge shall increase and become great. Some people have said, well, that's the explosion of technology. Daniel was prophesying the explosion of technology. But the very book of Daniel is an announcement given to God's people and God's city and God's nation Israel. And God says, Daniel, seal it up until the end. Then there's going to come a time when I believe he's speaking about his people, Israel, will pursue and hunt and search for in the word of God to find out, for example, who the Messiah is, as David Hawkins so excellently gave us a lesson in last night. I predict, not because I'm some prophet or the son of a prophet. I'm telling you because of the Bible, I think you're going to see so many more Jewish people come to the understanding of their prophets and of their word. Amen. But what about you? What about us? In Psalm chapter 40, verse 7, the Bible says, behold, I come, and in the volume of the book it is written of me. Well, that's interesting. Did you know that verse, the author of the book of Hebrews quoted? Psalm 40, he quotes in Hebrews 10, 5, therefore when he came into the world, think about who he is, that when he came into the world, a good student would ask, who is he? And he said, sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Can you think of anyone who is eternal, born in Bethlehem, who has a book written about him called the Bible, who God, his Father, prepared a body for him to wear in coming to earth? For you have prepared for me this body. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come, for in the volume of the book it is written of me. The Bible, when you and I open up the Word of God. Now listen, I don't want to get all goofy, mystically weird on you. But the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How do you and I experience Jesus Christ today, and why should we be people looking for understanding regarding our times? Open up the Bible, and until Christ physically returns, when you read this scripture from cover to cover, you are looking into the face of God. You are looking at the very manifestation of Jesus's ministry, life and heart on printed word. Think about it. When you're reading the Word of God, that's why we argue with you. I don't mean with you, but with any doubter, that this is the inerrant Word of God. This is, in the original writings, this is God's Word to us. Because why? Because Christ is the Word to us. And what does that mean? That we might have understanding. Jesus never walked around and spoke something, and they were all scratching their heads saying, what? What? He said, listen, everything I've taught, I've taught openly and publicly. I've kept nothing secret from anybody. The Pharisees always understood what he was saying. He would say something and they would pick up stones to kill him. He would say something and they would panic. They understood. Jesus doesn't give us, and Scripture doesn't give us, some esoteric mystery that we've got to go take drugs like Paul talked about last night, sit on a rock, naked, meditate on our navel. I need understanding. I need understanding. And you know, do you realize right now, people are absolutely hopeless today because they're pursuing the gospel of green. If we just save the earth, look, I'm all for it. Look, my God made the earth. I highly respect that. And if you've been to my house, I plant flowers. I have trees. It's beautiful. I love nature. I don't worship it. I worship the God who made it. But people are trying to run around and put a big band-aid on the earth, thinking if we just be nice to Mama Earth, she'll take care of us and all of our problems will go away. Listen, I love your passion for worship. My wife and I were just recently on vacation in Hawaii, and the whales were jumping all over the place. And people are getting all emotional. A whale. Look at the whale. Listen to it breathe. Look at its eye. Oh, and it's like, oh my goodness. And then you mention, you know, well, you know what? The rights of the unborn. What? Who cares? Save the whale, kill the kid. Where does that come from? A world that has got its understanding and thinking inverted. It's wrong. It's messed up. Why? Because we've gotten away from the Word of God. Our nation has gotten away from the Word of God. We're talking about the financial difficulties last night. And the reality is, the God of America has fallen flat on his face and he can't get up. He's like the Humpty Dumpty. The dollar is broken. And so where will you go? What will be your understanding? No, my friend, these very days that we're living in and the days that shall come ahead of us this summer, the things that are coming, God has gone before us. You don't need to panic. No, you see, the events validate God, validate the Bible, validate Jesus Christ, gives us understanding. Number five, it's this. These events are designed to open up our eyes. To open up our eyes. God help us if we, as I shared last night, the sales of Smirnoff vodka is up, Hershey's chocolate is up, and movie theater attendance is up. And they said on the news, it's because people are depressed. Man, if you're going to take a bunch of chocolates and get drunk at the theater watching, I don't know what's out there, but watching Toy Story or something, I don't know what you're going to get. If you're going to go to the, okay, I can't take it anymore. The world's collapsing. America's going down the toilet. I can't cope with it. Dad, Mom, what are we going to do? Son, get a bottle of vodka. Mom, get the chocolates. We're going to the movies. No, no, listen, go to the Word of God. Get to the Bible. These last days, listen, I love John chapter 14. You guys know that attend this church, you know this. John 14, I believe it's Jesus' first announcement regarding the rapture in his ministry. Jesus said, John 14, 1, listen, let not your heart be troubled. Have you noticed Sean Hannity uses that verse now on his program? I want you to know he got it from right here. I mean, not here, from John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house. Point to it. Where's that at? What are you? Some of you are deaf. It's this way. Look, come on. Point. It's not going to hurt you. You need the exercise anyway. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you maybe also. That is a comforting word. You say, well, when's Jesus coming back? I don't know. Could be today. Could be next year. Could be 10 years. Could be 100 years. Could be today. Could be now. Could be now. Matthew 24, 4 says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. That's an awesome statement, because the disciples came to him and they said, Jesus, when's the world going to end? And what will be the sign of your coming? Sounds like today. Sounds like CNN. When's the end? Jesus said, I tell you what, take heed that nobody deceives you. Matthew 24, 5. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. Introducing all kinds of ways of salvation. All you have to do is stay home on a Saturday and see how many knocks at your door come. It doesn't matter if they drive up with nice suits and a briefcase or they pedal up on a 10-speed. They're going to knock. Jesus said, watch out. One of the indicators of the last days is mass opportunities to pick your direction to heaven. And let's be honest. Did you know that all roads lead to God? You see, David Hawking's getting all nervous. Let's be true. Read the Bible from cover to cover. All roads lead to God. The Bible says everyone will stand before God in the end. You need to read your Bible carefully. All roads lead to God. It's what happens after you get off the road. Are you going to fall off into hell because you picked the wrong road? It's your choice. God's not going to bend your arm into heaven, and he's not going to bend your arm into hell. He has given you the opportunity to pick and choose if you want him or not. Think about that. It's amazing. The Bible, the scriptures, Jesus Christ, the very days and the age in which we live are to open up our eyes. And so Jesus said, this is one of the indicators, or these are indicators, that you can watch out for. Number one, spiritual deception. He said this, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. We're going to nuke you guys. We're going to test a nuclear device. Jesus said, watch out for wars and rumors of wars. See that your heart's not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. The end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. The word in Greek is ethnos will fight ethnos. Does that sound familiar? Ethnic groups will wage war against other ethnic groups. Jesus said it's going to increase. He said kingdom against kingdom. That's political realms, as we would know in our terminology, nations against nations, and that in our modern day sense. Political powers raging war against political powers. There will be famines. By the way, the word suggests not because God's not faithful to produce rain, famines because of the evil of man. Look at North Africa and all of the evils that take place in the starvation and the mayhem taking place in the Sudan and other reasons. There's a bunch. You know, you fly over North Africa and it's extremely green and beautiful. You say, why is there a food problem here? Evil people. He says there'll be pestilence, incurable diseases, earthquakes in various places. Now, all that implies that it's going to increase. Number six, what are the last days and why should you and I care? Well, there are events in the last days designed to encourage believers. The believer should be encouraged today. Maybe today you're discouraged and you want to give up. No, don't give up. The next speaker after me, Dr. Ed Heinsohn, I'm going to quote what he says, and I love it. He says, Bible prophecy is not given to scare us, but to prepare us. It's not given to frighten us, but to invite us. What a great word that is. The Christian should be encouraged in times like this. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not talking about some sort of a lunatic encouragement. I'm not talking about like you should run around throwing pixie dust in the air with rose petals saying, the end is near, the end is near, hallelujah, everything's going to just blow up. That's not what I'm talking about. But people live on your street and they're scared. You need to know your neighbors, by the way, like never before. This is the great opportunity to go introduce yourself to your neighbors and say, listen, you may think I'm a lunatic. I got to tell you this. I'm a Christian. I'm praying for the streets. I'm praying for all the neighbors. I just thought I'd let you know that. Do you have any prayer requests, by the way? You know what? Guess what? I guarantee you, they're not going to say, get off my door, you whack maniac freak. They'll probably say, yeah, you know what? Our company's laying people off. You can pray for me. These are amazing times. Let's not miss them. These are great ministry moments. Believer, be encouraged. John 14, 18 says, Jesus said this, I love it. I will not leave you comfortless or orphaned. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. How awesome is that? Luke 21, 26 and 28. In the last days, Jesus said, men's hearts will fail them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth, i.e., global economic crisis. Ladies and gentlemen, what's going to happen when the dollar's worth zero, the world economy's collapse, and people can't buy anything, and people are scared, and your baby has gone 4 days without food? What's going to happen to our community? What's going to happen to our nation? What's going to happen to our world? Jesus said there's going to come a time when people who don't know him will freak out. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, we're not seeing those things happen yet, but we're seeing the game board set up, are we not? That's clear. Verse 28 says, now when you see these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption, your rescue, draws near. How good is that? Hebrews 10, chapter 24. No, there is no 24 chapter. It's Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, Thus, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as has become the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That word, by the way, to stimulate means to incite, stir up, to provoke, to challenge other believers to love and do good works. No more spectator Christianity. Those days are over. And I believe that in the midst of all this bad news, my only hope is that God would send revival to America, that Christians would absolutely get pumped up for God and just live the word. Number seven, these events that are going on around us are designed to get our attention. It could be today that you're here and you're fearful about what your future holds. And that's a very legitimate fear. Stock market type stuff. Look at the thing, gold this week, just Thursday or Friday? Yesterday or Thursday, gold went over $1,000 an ounce. Why? Because the people are counting on the dollar being worth nothing very soon. Interesting. So what are you going to do about all these wake-up calls? These things are going on. God knows you. He loves you. You don't need to panic about what's happening. But you do need to lean on Christ completely. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. You know, that's 2 Timothy 3:1. I could shut my Bible and we could all just go home on that verse alone. Can we all, if you are an evolutionist this morning and you're here because somebody made you come, just that verse alone, can you deal with that verse? Can you just, the Bible said 2,000 years ago that in the last days before Christ returns, there'll be very perilous times taking place. You cannot deny that. You cannot deny that. James 5, verse 2. James 5, 2 says, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have eroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat you like flesh, like fire. Listen, you have heaped up for yourself these treasures in the last days. I'm not saying don't buy gold. I'm just saying you can't eat it. Hey, that guy's got $1 million worth of gold in his house. That doesn't matter when you're hungry. And the Bible says, book of Revelation says, there's going to come a day. And I agree with what Paul and David said last night. I believe the Christian will not see this day in the tribulation period. But the Bible says in the tribulation period, there's going to be people that will work all day long just to get one piece of bread. You see, that'll never happen here. Well, why would America be exempt? I think America's waking up right now to the fact that it's not exempt. And somebody will ask, you think God's punishing us? I don't necessarily know if God's punishing us. But I know this. Is it not evident that this nation has rejected the God of the Bible? I mean, let's be honest. He's not allowed in school. He's not allowed in court. He's not allowed in so many places. Maybe he's just kind of backed up and said, what if you don't want me around? Okay. I mean, why would you hang around a place that you're not wanted? Somebody asked me, we need to get a campaign to protect In God We Trust on the currency. I don't think so. I'm really struggling with this. Should we try to defend In God We Trust on the currency? I don't think we trust God as a nation. So why should it even be on there? Think about it. These things that are happening, maybe they're for to get our attention that we might make a decision. Jesus said in Matthew 25, 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. That's encouraging. Number 8, what are the last days and why should I care? These things are designed to give us hope. The exact opposite of what your emotions have been telling you. People are panicking. We saw that clip from Glenn Beck. And then during lunch break, we're going to play his program that aired yesterday. And, you know, at some part of his program, Glenn Beck said, wait, as these experts are speaking to him. He says, wait, I've got to reach for my Prozac with everything you're telling me. Listen, where does the world go without Jesus? It goes to the theater, to the chocolates, to the Smirnoff, to the Prozac, because it doesn't have anywhere else to go. It thinks. But the Lord wants them. The Lord wants you today. And He wants to give you hope. I'm going to give you 3 verses of hope. Fun stuff. Awesome. Great. These are the promises of God. You can't buy this stuff. Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That was not written in some ivory palace. 2,000 years ago when Christianity was illegal, Christians were persecuted, being beaten, tortured to death, imprisoned, and crushed by Rome. Paul writes, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Think about it. We freak out. Oh, I've lost all hope. Why? My hard drive crashed on my computer. We think about things like that when we see Christians in China today getting their tongues literally cut off and then seared with a hot plate because they won't stop speaking the name of Jesus in China. You can view that and you can read about that at Voices of the Martyrs. Go to their website. Support them, sponsor them, help them. Jeremiah 29:11, my life verse. For I know the thoughts. Listen, hey, listen, everybody. Can you hear me? Can you read? Everybody? Write this verse down. This is the best. See, I don't believe in the Bible. Write the verse down. Watch what happens. God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray, and I will listen to you. That's awesome. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter 1:20. Jesus Christ was indeed foreordained before the world, before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Is that not cool? Is that not awesome? How are you going to get to heaven? Well, I've been going to church all my life. Well, good luck, because that's all you got. Well, I put $1 million in the offering. God doesn't need it. And what? I was a Cub Scout, Boy Scout. My dad was a pastor. I played the organ at church. I was in the rock band Christian thing. What do you mean? That's not how you get to heaven. Oh, what are you saying, Pastor? Got to attend Calvary Chapel? That definitely no. That's not going to get you to heaven. You think some church can get you to heaven? When you look at the cross, do you see some church nailed on the cross? Do you see anybody? Well, I've got to get to heaven through this group of people, or through this hierarchy, or through this evangelist, or through this pope. No. Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all the world unto me. That means you are not going to leave this planet without having to consider Christ. God will reach you. You say, well, what about the man in the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa or South America who's never heard? Why are you concerned about that guy and you're not taking care of your own house? God will speak to the guy with the bone in his nose. You need to listen to the God with the ears on your head. Listen to him. He's calling to you. And all the stuff, your kids are looking to see what's going to happen. We're turning, you know, collectively I'm saying that we're turning to our children and saying we got to cut back. Can't make the house payment, or we got to sell this. And we have raised our children on a plastic world. You can't have your iPhone. You can't have your Xbox. You can't have your this or your that. Oh, this is the tribulation. We need to give our kids real hope, and that's Jesus. And if you don't know how to do that, then get to, as Pastor David said last night, get to a Bible teaching church. Get your kids understanding that God loves them. I'm all for my kids to have self-esteem, people say. You want your kids to have self-esteem? Get them to know Jesus Christ. And that's all the esteem they need to know, is that God loves them so much, he can't take his eyes off of them. You get that under your belt, and the rest is downhill. For God so loved the world. And that includes you, your husband, your wife, and your kids. Number 9, comfort. What are the last days, and why should we care? The events that are going on around us, believe it or not, are to comfort the heart. To comfort the heart. It could be that today or this morning you feel crushed. And again, I just simply repeat John 14:1. Jesus says, let not your heart be seismos, earthquake, shaking, troubled, agitated. Please trust him. John 16:33. These things Jesus said, I've spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. You're going to have difficulties. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Sunday morning, your heart's going to soar when Dr. Tim LaHaye speaks about the single most thought about, talked about, wondered about event in the last 2,000 years. What? That's a big statement. Tim LaHaye is going to be here Sunday morning to talk about the most thought about, wondered about, probably written about, and what's on everybody's mind. Even the world is talking about it. The rapture of the church. How does that happen? Where is that in the Bible? What should we look forward to? What's that all about? All to bring us comfort. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. You guys all know this. Do I need to read it? You already know it. I'm going to read it anyway. I don't care. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but I do not want you to be ignorant. Is that not awesome? Isn't that just like us? Paul says to the believers at Thessalonica, I don't want you to be uninformed. Listen to me in what I'm telling you, Paul is saying. Here it is. Brethren, concerning those who have died, fallen asleep, died, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. Don't cry unnecessarily without hope regarding a believer who died. You can cry, but be hope-filled. He says, listen, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, even so God will bring with him those who died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, Paul said we, he was looking forward to the Lord's return. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. Watch this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, Can you imagine when the Lord Jesus shouts? You think David Hawkins got an awesome voice? He's going to sound like Mickey Mouse in front of the Lord's voice. Jesus is going to shout. Then listen, with the voice of the archangel. That's going to be awesome. And with the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Have you buried somebody you love and they know Jesus? I want to be doing a funeral at Rose Hills the day this happens. Can you imagine? And today we lay to rest our dear brother. Can you imagine the day of the rapture? All of a sudden, something's going to be happening, and then the guy you just put in the ground is going to bust open, man. He's going to go, and what the? And boom, we go up right behind him, and it's... Can you... He says, listen, the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And listen, thus shall we always be with the Lord. Verse 18, therefore freak out, go to movies, drink Smirnoff and chocolates. No, therefore comfort one another with these words. The Lord can come back. Watch. People say, the Lord can come back. People have stickers on their window. Jesus is coming soon. How do you cope with that? Would you look at that and say, amen. That's right. Hallelujah. That's incredible. That's awesome. I'm ready. Or do you say, man, I hope that's not true. Listen, if you're hoping it's not true, you're not ready. That's the Holy Spirit telling you when you say, Pastor Jack, can you just move on to number 10? Can you just go to 10? Because I don't want to talk about this. That's the Holy Spirit inside telling you, you're not ready to meet Him. And it is number 10. I'm on 10, right? Okay, just seeing if you're listening. Number 10. Are these the last days? Are we in them? And why should we care? These events are designed to create faith. And this is what's going on right now in the world. People are giving up. Or people are making decisions. We have several ministries here, by the way, and I don't seem to. I'm not picking on one particular cult. I'm just very glad of what's happening. There are several ministries here that reach Muslims, and one of them reaches Muslims around the world. And much of its covert activity, it's deep, it's huge, it's global. Just from the sources that we have available to us, we are hearing on the average of 1,500 Muslims coming to faith in Jesus Christ a month around the world. When you see this big push, I want all of you to be thinking, when you see this big push to adopt some other kind of religion that makes no sense, it's absolutely amazing. What in the world? Why would anybody adopt this? We are in those days of deception. Yet at the same time, while people are being deceived, there are those of you who are hearing God stir your life and heart to put your faith in Jesus Christ. These are amazing times. And it could be that you're thinking, you know what? I don't know if I even have faith anymore, Pastor Jack. Well, listen. Jesus said in Matthew 6:25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Oh, do we not need that today? Don't worry what you eat or what you drink or what you put on your body. Is not life more than food and the body more than your clothing? In Southern California, the answer to that is no. No, man, I don't care if I'm dead as long as I look good. What are you sowing to? What are you leaning on? Look at the birds, Jesus said, of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. You ever see a bird panic? We need more seed. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than the birds? Sierra Club says no, but God says yes. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They neither grow, neither do they toil or spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not as beautiful or arrayed as these. Now, if God so clothes the grass or the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Perhaps all the things that are being stripped away from Americans today is to get Americans to see that they can put their faith in Christ rather than things. So what are the last days? What are these days that we're in? Are we living in them? Theologically, the answer is yes and. Not yes or no. The answer is yes, we are, says the Bible, and there's going to be more days to come. This is the beginning of what's going on. And so what is the thrust? And we'll end with this push right here. What is the object this morning of your faith, hope, and trust? Do you have stock? We'll have a prayer meeting for you after service. Think about it. And there are stock market engineers that are killing themselves. And yet at the same time, we heard Newt Gingrich say that there are prayer meetings breaking out on Wall Street and Broad. Men in suits, women in suits, gathering together and pray. This is awesome. I'm not gloating over someone else's misfortune. I'm just simply saying, isn't it sad? It takes something this massive to get people to see. You know what? And there's people praying in their Armani suits, and I love it. It's awesome. Thank God there's always a God in heaven who's listening. John 3:15. This is what you do now with this information. You say, what do I do with all this 10-point thing? Jesus said it, John 3:15, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he who believes in him is not condemned. Romans 10:8 says, but what does the scripture say? That the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess, ek homologeo, say the same word. Like 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we agree with God, oh Lord God, I'm a sinner. Does that offend some of you today? You know, the gospel is under attack. And just this last summer, many of us, we all petitioned the UN. Remember, they were trying to make the preaching of the gospel illegal in foreign countries because it causes people to feel bad about the word sin. Were you involved in that? Unbelievable. Thank God the UN threw that out. 51 nations put that bill together and try to get it through the UN, that the word sin in the Bible causes people to feel bad. Do you understand something? When you go to your doctor and he grabs you by the throat or grabs you in some other uncomfortable spot, and he says, you know what, does this hurt? Yes! And then what does he do? When your doctor says, does it hurt right here? Do you know what that wicked, cruel, demonic doctor does? He grabs it harder! Does it hurt now, like really bad? If you've ever been to the doctor, you get a physical, and he pushes, pushing, pushing, and pushing on you. What's he doing? What are you doing to me? I'm trying to find something wrong. And when I hit it, you'll know it. And so when the Bible says, you know what? Listen, when the Bible says, for example, no adulterer is going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. You've ever had sex with somebody else's spouse? God says, you're not going. The Bible says, you know what? Nor pharmakei, no drug user, drunkenness, false religions, and you're not going to make it. No righteous person, self-righteous that is going to make it. You say, well, who can get saved? Anybody, everybody. If we come to the cross the same way, if you'll come and believe that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, that God raised him from the dead, and that by trusting in him, and listen, by saying those words, it's not saying them that saves you, it's believing those words. It's believing what Christ has done. And the scripture announces to us in 2 Corinthians 6:2, in an acceptable time I have heard you. How about today? What is today's date? The 21st? How about today? God says, in an acceptable time I've heard you. That kind of, now this may not be theologically correct. Dr. David will have to slap me around for this. But to my heart, that implies that God is like this, waiting to hear from you. In an acceptable time, he's heard you. He's waiting. Isn't it amazing that the eternal God of creation is waiting to hear from you? In acceptable time I have heard you, and the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so I end. I'm really ending. This is the end. It's true. I read this. Dr. John Wolverett. I love his stuff. You say, Jack, how can you be so confident and sure about trusting in your Bible and all that? Here's how. 27% of the Bible is written about future events called eschatology or prophecy. 27% of the Bible. It's estimated that 87% of the 27% has already been fulfilled. That's called history. Interesting. Listen. And of the remaining 13%, 98% of that are of scriptures which will be fulfilled during the 7-year Great Tribulation period. So do you realize right now at this very second you're sitting in this sanctuary? And there's a gigantic pause right now. It's almost as though heaven is holding its breath. Because who knows when, very soon, I believe, the clock's going to start again. And God's going to wrap things up. Last verse. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, is why I, though all these things are difficult times, I would not live at any other time than the time I'm living, because our God, my God, your God, has engineered these moments. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, I know that there was a great harvest of precious souls and faith and belief in you last night. We're grateful for that. But there might be one person here tonight or this morning that right now this morning your spirit is speaking to. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe today you're hearing this for the first time. You can't get to heaven by being good. Impossible. Only one died on the cross, and that's Jesus Christ. Only one rose from the dead, and that's Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he died for you and I. And the challenge for you right now is to divorce yourself, separate yourself from your pride and from your self-assurance. And be able to say to him now, in the sanctuary of your heart, dear Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I have sinned. I have broken a commandment or two, I see that now, in thought or in action. I know that in my life I've done wrong and I need the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Lord, I want you. I'm not joining a church. I'm not getting religious. I want you as my personal Savior. I need you in my life now. Help me, God, to embrace these days in which we live in and through you. And today I want to confess that Jesus Christ is now my Lord and Savior. If you agree with that, heads bowed and eyes closed, you're telling him that. If that's happening in your life right now, will you just acknowledge that's going on by raising your hands? We're not going to take a picture of you. We're not going to bother you. We're not going to go get your name. But everyone Jesus called, he called publicly, and this is public enough. God bless you to my right. Anyone else over here to my left? God bless you. Right here. God bless you. Up front right here, God bless you. And in the back, God bless you as well. Anyone else? Over here to the left. Right here. I see you to my left as well. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, these that have raised their hands, that you would absolutely grip their lives the way that you've done it with most of us here today. And Lord, that they would know. They may not be feeling anything. I remember I never felt a thing. I just knew something had changed. Friends, those of you who raised your hands today during this conference, it would be awesome if you grabbed me or any one of our speakers or pastors or the ushers. It'd be great to just say, hey, you know what? I raised my hand today. That's the code word, okay? I raised my hand today, and they'll get you a brand new Bible. Father, thank you for your truth. It's our hope, and it's hope enough. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Listen, why don't you stand?